So, just to check you're in the right place, we are looking at unity and community, and thinking about kind of how we as a church can learn from when Jesus met people, what was it like, and then also what happens then when we meet people. So when someone either comes to our church for the first time, that might even be you this morning, or has been coming for a while, how is it then that we build genuine community? How does this work? And so one of the best ways to build community is kind of having people around for dinner. Jesus seemed to go and eat with people all the time. So I have one question for you, and you can discuss this in your groups. If you were going to have a dinner party and you could invite three guests, dead or alive, I mean, they'd be alive at the dinner party. They're not just going to sit there as a corpse. Three guests, dead or alive, who are you going to invite? Who would you like to have at a dinner party? Who's going to bring the fun? Who's going to bring the conversation? Who would just be the person that had all those stories? Three people. Squeeze yourselves around so you can have a little chat about it. And I'll call us back together, and I want to hear some of the best ones. Right then, what have we got? Shout out some of your best ones. Who's the best dinner guest? Who have you got over here? Go on, Jake. Who did you invite?
Adolf Hitler.
Adolf Hitler. I mean, it's a controversial start. Welcome, Phil. Why are you inviting Mr. Hitler?
Who knows what he was like at
dinner? Okay, yeah. So to find out what the actual man was like himself, just in conversation. Because he was a good influencer, wasn't he? Just to actually find out what he was like. Who's your best one in this group? It can't be worse than that one. So. Okay, nice. So yeah, so people you are most comfortable with, family, so that actually you're not having to perform or you're not standing on ceremony. I like that idea. Who is your best one in this group? Or your best couple?
Gary Lineker.
Gary Lineker, as Brian pointed out, because he's going to bring all the crisps. Yeah, chips and dips would be good. That'd be good.
David Attenborough.
I think wouldn't he just be a great dinner guest? Yeah, I think he'd be great. I like that. Who's your best one in this?
Glenn's dog.
Glenn's dog. Don't say it too loud, your dog will be offended. Yeah, I can see a dog coming to dinner party. That'd be nice. Fill in a little chair. What about over here?
Johnny Depp
would be a good shout. And did you have Billy Connolly as well?
Yeah.
I think that'd be great. Johnny Depp and Billy Connolly, that is a recipe for disaster. I could just see that going horribly wrong. Great. Okay, well, I like little conversations like that. Another one, you're not going to talk about this now. You can think about this in your own time, or if you get bored of me later. If you're going to put on your own music festival, and you could have three headline acts, dead or alive, who would you have? It's tough decisions. Anyway, we're not talking about that today. This is not just a series of ridiculous questions that are never going to happen. But we're going to have a think about unity and community, and particularly looking at what happened when Jesus met someone. And we're going to look at a few of the people that Jesus met. So what his impact was on them when he met them, and some of what happened after he'd met them, and then what is the impact on the church of those sorts of things today? So you're going to be doing a little bit of work in your groups. I've got some Bible verses and a few questions for you to have a little bit of a chat and a think about. So if you're now sitting there thinking, oh, I don't know anything, it's okay. That's the whole point. We're coming at this all kind of going, okay, what is this saying to us? So please don't feel any kind of, you know, like there's an exam or anything. There's no questions at the end. But we will sort of share our ideas maybe as we go a little bit. And we're going to meet three particular people that Jesus met. A vertically challenged tree climbing traitorous tax collector who hosted a dinner party with Jesus. A member of the Jewish council who visits Jesus in the dead of night full of questions. And a woman who is on death row and is about to be stoned to death. So their common ground, they all met Jesus, and they were all changed by their encounter with Jesus, but in differing ways, actually. But the question that I really want us to think about as we're going to look at these characters is this. What application is there for us today in the church, for people maybe coming to church for the first time or people who've been around for the first time in maybe a long time? What are the implications of Jesus meeting these people? What can we learn from that? Okay, so that's kind of what we're going to be thinking about. So we're going to look at them in groups. Then we're going to hopefully just share a few of the ideas of what we've found about them. And depending on where we're up to with time and things, we might sort of mix them around so you can have a go at looking at a different one as well. And Yeah, and then we'll go from there. And then later we're going to look at some modern-day people who might encounter Jesus as well. All right? So we've got the story of Zacchaeus. We've got the woman who has been caught in adultery. And then when Jesus is teaching a guy called Nicodemus. Okay, so I'm going to bring around these things. You can have a look at them. If you want to grab a pen, there are some pens in a box on that table over there. Feel free if you want to scroll down some answers. But hopefully we can all be comfortable enough with each other just to chat through what we're seeing. So to start off with, it might be a good idea just to have a read through the passage. The Nicodemus one is taken from three separate parts where we see Nicodemus talking to Jesus. And then the other ones are just sort of whole passages. And then there's some questions at the bottom. So feel free to kind of chew this over, really think it through. Don't just kind of dive in and go, oh yeah, well, the answer's this. Like Andre tried to do at the start, the answer is not Jesus, God, and the Bible. And that's Sunday school. This is slightly different. So feel free to, yeah, sort of check stuff out. If you've got questions, this is a great place to do it. And I'm going to sort of mill around and chip in as and when I get to you. Is that all right? Okay. Don't worry if you've not finished, but I am going to interrupt you because otherwise we'll never get through some of the other bits that I want us to talk about. So I know doing stuff like this, particularly when you come on a Sunday morning expecting just to be spoken to, is always a little bit more challenging, especially when it's hot as well, with someone making you think. But hopefully what we've seen through these bits here is that actually in meeting these people, Jesus brings about actually quite a radical transformation. Just literally by having dinner with him, Zacchaeus, if you looked at him, goes from being a tax collector, probably being one of the most hated people, to a boost in the local economy, as these guys were saying. Actually, they get a whole lot of their money back. So there is a direct impact immediately in his life where he is changed. If we look at the woman caught in adultery, she literally goes from death to life in a moment, just by Jesus turning up. A radical, radical transformation. But he doesn't just say to her, nah, don't worry about it, don't worry about your sin. Actually, he challenges that whole concept of sin and being wrong in a deeper way than actually the religious leaders were going to anyway, by saying, go now, I don't condemn you either, now go and sin no more, which is actually far harder than what, in a sense, she was going to have to go through as a punishment. And then when we look at Nicodemus as well, we see him with all of these questions, and actually we see him changed, but we see it over quite a long period of time, and then we don't actually ever find out whether Nicodemus has gone, Jesus is the Son of God at all. We never know, we never find that out, but we do find out that clearly Jesus has impacted him in life that he brings 75 pounds of spices to come and sort of prepare the body for burial, which clearly has had quite a profound impact on him. So we don't always find out all the answers to all the questions, and that's probably quite similar to us in church, isn't it? We don't know where necessarily people have come from. We don't always necessarily see people's whole journey either, but actually just by helping them to encounter Jesus, that's the best thing we can do. So I've got three words beginning with B, and I want you to just consider from the passages that you've read in which order these things happen. Okay, so the words are believe, behave, and belong. So when Jesus meets someone, what order does he work with those things? So is it the belief that comes first? Is it the behavior change that comes first? Or is it the sense of belonging that comes first? And then which order do you think, just from the ones that you've looked at, what order do they come in? Have a little think. So belief, behavior, and belonging. Three B's, in which order in those stories that you've looked at, which order does Jesus work? Have a little chat. Great. I am going to draw us back together again. Sorry to keep interrupting you, but we're going to move on a little bit. So hopefully what you have seen through those passages, and you don't see all of the stages in equal measure, and you sometimes don't actually see the impact of them, all of them, but the order that Jesus displays, and actually the gospel throughout the whole of the New Testament displays, is that this belonging comes first. So actually it's the coming together. It's the actually you are welcome, whatever state you are in, wherever you are up to in life, you are welcome to belong in this family. After that, it then comes almost from that is the belief element, where it's actually having seen this, having been close to this, actually I'm starting to believe that this is something that's true. This is something that's real. Now, sometimes that is through just being around. And in one of these, I can't remember which one, but it's fairly instantaneous. Actually, it's quite a quick process. But like we were just discussing with Nicodemus, he maybe doesn't actually quite get to that point. But then the third bit is the behavior that changes and follows. So if we look at Zacchaeus, he meets Jesus. Jesus calls him out of the tree, says, come on, I'm going to come and have dinner at your house. There's a sense of belonging that maybe he doesn't have in any other community because of who he is and what he does. As a tax collector, he'd have been slightly traitorous to his people group because he'd have been a Jew and he was now working with the Romans. So he's kind of outcast from them, but he's also not a Roman, so he's not quite with them. So he's on his own. And yet Jesus says, I'm coming to have dinner at your house. So instantly that sense of belonging that comes to him then leads to this probable sense of belief that actually Jesus is somebody totally different. And as a result of that, fairly instantaneously, his behavior is radically transformed. He starts giving away money. Now, I'd love that kind of transformation in people around me. But we can see that in that order, actually, the gospel works. I wonder, though, whether our perspective and actually whether the world's perspective of the order of those three B's in church is that way around. I'd say it's probably all sorts of mixed up, but the first one, belonging, probably comes last. In most people's understanding of actually most communities, not just the church, but actually most communities, but particularly the church, you have to behave in the right way first. I talk to all sorts of people and they'll say things like, I can't come to church because I do this, or I do that, or I'm like this, or I think that. They don't necessarily think that they are welcome because of the way that they behave. Or, no, I can't come to your church because I believe something different. I don't believe that what you think. But actually, when we get the order right, when we work the way that Jesus worked with people, and we think about the belonging bit first, that actually Jesus just came to bind up the brokenhearted, which is pretty much everyone. In some way or another, we've all got our own issues. And actually, that's what he came to do. He came to seek and save the lost. He came to bring belonging. He came to bring people into family so that he could then show them his love, so that they could believe that he is then the Son of God, that he died for them. And then out of that motivation, out of that grace motivation, actually our behavior changes. So there's a guy called Doug Bixby, who is an American author. He said this: our call as Christians is to share God's grace, not to decide who gets it. Which I think is quite challenging, because sometimes we can kind of think to ourselves, well, you're unlikely. You're not going to believe this. There's no way you're going to think this, because look at what you do. Look at how you are. Look at the way you live. And actually, the biggest challenge to us is the way that Jesus works with other people, because that belonging comes first. No matter what people are like, no matter what state they are in, his default setting is, you are welcome to be with me. Imagine a church like that. Can you imagine if our church was living that more even than we do now? I think it would make a radical, radical transformation. So we're going to look at some modern day people. I have some slightly caricatured kind of versions of people. There's a whole list of them down here, and you can do the kind of close your eyes up and down the list and stick your finger on one and just talk about them. And what I want you to think about is, if they came to our church, if they walked in on a Sunday morning, or you came across them maybe at your workplace or in your street or something like that, what challenges do we face as a church in helping them to belong? What challenges do we face with you in helping you to feel like you belong? With me, with helping to make me to feel like I belong? Because we all face our own little challenges with this. And so I want us to think about that. Because if we in this room thought about this today, and the impact of this came on our way out or next week, it could radically transform the way that we work as a church. It could radically transform actually how many people are then reached with the gospel. Because if belonging comes first, then actually the gospel is going to be more impactful if people are actually around to hear it. The amount of people that come for a week or two and then disappear is actually quite a large proportion. Okay, there's a word over us as a church that we'd have many coming in and many going out. But the idea is there that they come in, get fed, and then they get equipped to go out, not just kind of, I'm not going to come back there. Okay, so this isn't an epidemic in our church at all, but actually if we can get something of this, then I think it's going to have a big impact, not just on us, but on others as well. So the questions that I've got for you are things like this. What might have drawn them to church? Now, some of them you find out in this fictitious little world that I've created, what drew them to church, so you don't necessarily need to answer all the questions. What barriers might there have been for them to come to church in the first place? As on that Sunday morning when they woke up, they knew they'd been invited or they thought about going. What stuff might have made them go, no, I won't bother. No, I won't. Or I'll drive all the way to church and then I'll go for a walk on the common instead. What barriers are there for people to come to church? What particular aspects of the good news of Jesus Christ might be most relevant to them? So if you were having a conversation with them and they said, what is this all about then? What is it that you might share with them about the good news that we have found? And if you're not quite in that place yet, then you can ask that question. What good news can you share with me? That's a great question to ask. What challenges might they actually face in church life? If they stick around, what challenges would these people kind of face? What challenges do you face in terms of that belonging, that sense of community? What could we do? Literally, very practically, what could you do that might help them feel like they belong or actually help them belong? Are there any specific areas of church ministry that you know about that might help them? And how would you personally help this person to belong and then believe? Because the behavior bit's not down to you, which is good news. All right, so have a little look at these. Don't feel like you've got to get through all of them. We've got about 8 minutes and there are 10 of these, I think. All right, guys, can I just interrupt you again? Sorry, we're gonna start to finish just here. Now, I know some of us will have looked at the kind of the Bible passages and found that tricky to kind of pull out from there what Jesus actually showing us, and then this bit might have been right up your street in terms of going, people, I can do people. This is easy for me. I know what I would do here. And it might be actually conversely, the other way around. But I want us to just consider these things. These are fictitious people. I've made them all up. But any one of these and anything in between and beyond are the people that we want to be coming to church. Because Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And the lost incorporates every single person from every single walk of life that we're going to meet, that you're going to come across at work, that you're going to come across just during your day-to-day life. And what I would love us to be confident in is that if you said to them, I'd love you to come to church, that actually they would come and they would find people who have thought about it, like you guys, to be able to go, you are really welcome here. One of the things that's actually said by many, many people who come to our church is the welcome at your church is like nothing I've already experienced. So many people said hi to me, people remembered me from 1 week to the next. And that's amazing. But it's not just that that's gonna keep people kind of in a position where actually we're allowing the gospel to work. I believe passionately that actually our Sunday church meetings are a great place for people to meet Jesus. I do. And that's what we're about. So if you bring people, if you bring your friends, they are going to be impacted through meeting Jesus. And we saw what happened with Nicodemus. We saw what happened with Zacchaeus. We saw what happened with the woman in adultery. When people meet Jesus, lives are changed. And so I want to firstly release you from any kind of feeling of pressure that it's about what you do and the quality of your welcome and the quality of your hospitality, because it's when people meet Jesus that lives are transformed, not when people meet Brian, as great as he is. Okay? But actually bringing people to church to meet Jesus is the best possible thing we can do. And then actually keeping that community builds unity. If we are all cookie cutter Christians, if we are the same, then actually that's not real community. That's not what real life is like. That's not what I see in Southampton. That's not what I see in my workplace. That's not what I see in my friends, the whole load of people who are all... And God's glorious church should reflect that. It should reflect the community around us. And that's why we've been thinking about this. I want you to you can take these home if you want to think about these things, if you want to pray for some of these random people that might actually exist. You never know, it might have been prophetic, fictitious people. These people might all come next week, which would be incredible, and we'd all know exactly what to do. But I'd just encourage you to be praying that actually God would bring people to us who you are made for. Because he has good purposes for you and your life. And you might feel like you're slightly on the edge. You might feel like you're not quite in. But honestly, I don't even know what that looks like. I don't know what in means. I don't know what being part of it looks like, other than each of us just serving God in the best way that he's enabled us to do, which is by being exactly who you are. Okay, so I'm not. This isn't an exercise in how to be more like Si Muncy, because that would be completely futile. It's not an exercise in how to be more like anybody. It's here to hopefully help us to think about actually how can we keep that unity, that bond of peace through the Spirit by actually just thinking about these things. Because I don't know about you, but when I come to a conversation, I sort of have to mentally prepare myself as I'm going to talk to that person about the kind of things I might talk to that person about. And all of these things are good for us to do. So whilst we have people like Jake and Rosie who wear a welcome t-shirt, when you come to church, I want you to essentially imagine that you have a welcome t-shirt on. Because if it's not all of us, then it becomes like any other organization where there are specific people tasked with doing specific things. And that's not how the church works. The church works in every single one of us taking the responsibility that Jesus has given us and sharing that grace. But as that author said, our call is to share God's grace, not to decide who gets it. So I just want to encourage you this week to go. Why not invite someone for next week? Okay, you know that there's a whole load of people here who are ready to welcome them, who are ready to keep that kind of community building. And we know also that actually we're going to be sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. All right? So if you've got questions, if you've got specific things actually that you think, do you know what, as a church, if we were doing this, that would make a massive difference. Or even better, I feel like God's stirring me to offer this or to do that. Actually, just through this conversation, it's made me think I could, whatever. Come and talk to me. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to see different things kind of growing out of this community that we see God doing amongst us. Is that all right? Great. And if there are people in here who you've not met before, this is a great chance to practice. Go speak to them. Go find out. Help them to feel that sense of belonging this morning. And then the other thing that I encourage you to do is, as you go out, go and talk to other people who've been in other seminars and say, if you're thinking about this, or there might be people that you're thinking, yeah, they'd be really good to sort of think about some of this stuff, then encourage them to come either next week or the week after.